podcast is brought to you by Washington Federal. Washington Federal is a local bank and portfolio lender with more than 200 branches across 8 states, more than 32,000 fee-free ATMs, 24/7 online and mobile banking with drive-up ATMs. And Washington Federal is a proud sponsor of Scorebook Live. They care deeply about high school sports and the communities that support them across the entire state of Washington. Head to WFDBank.com to learn how they can help you meet your financial goals. That's WAFDBank.com. Washington Federal, a neighbor you can count on. We hope everybody's staying safe and healthy. We're just as excited for high school sports to return as you are. SB Live Washington podcast, a weekly conversation about high school sports and the people who play them across the Evergreen State. I'm Andy Bueller, statewide preps reporter, and joining me, your pal and mine, senior reporter Todd Millis, and SB Live's preeminent basketball mind, the host of the ISO with Dan Dickow. It's Dan Dickow. It's the usual group this week, and we're back to talking about issues. We're bringing this episode to you from Spokane, where Todd and I are getting ready to cover some football games in Idaho as we've shifted our focus into our expansion into Idaho. So, fellas, it's great to have you guys back all in one place. And how are you all doing?
I'm doing great. Usually we've got three boxes on our Zoom call where each of us have our own separate little spot, kind of like the Brady Bunch, and we're looking at each other and having this conversation. You guys are sitting together in the office today. I'm not in the office. I'm at home. My wife has some volunteer work this afternoon. So I'm here at the house in the office doing my work, connecting with you guys. But from what it looks like, you're right next to where my Scorebook Live office is. So hopefully you guys are enjoying it. I've got a jar full of change over there, fellas. Please don't steal it.
Hey, parking's expensive.
Yeah, I might need it for another hour on the street, man. So
what I was gonna do was I know you used to keep an old pair of shoes in there. I was gonna throw those on, give them a little test run, and see if I could go like 30 for 30 on the mini hoop.
Well, when my kids join me in the office, they take full advantage of the ping pong table, the mini hoop, all that. But you know, the one thing is though, you mentioned the basketball shoes. I know Todd's a big time golfer. If I come to the office and my old set of golf clubs are gone, I know who to look for, Todd.
Fair enough. And by the way, for your kids' sake, it was Costco delivery day. So everything has been replenished in the kitchen for you, Dan. Next time you and the kids are in the office, we helped unload all right. All that stuff. So
it might be trouble.
Yeah.
So we've got a big week of news this week. We're nearing well over 6 months of no high school sports in the state of Washington. At the same time, we've continued to keep our thumb on the pulse of when high school sports will return, how they will return. And that question, as you, the listener, know, has been a moving target since the start of this pandemic and continues to be so. This week, though, there was some big news. On Tuesday, the governor's office and the Department of Health and the WI announced new return to action guidelines for high school sports, as well as other extracurricular activities. This was a much awaited announcement from the WI's perspective. Essentially, it was the first thing that they had heard, the first big update they had heard from the Department of Health since this summer, when the recommendation was given that education-based sports do not take place in districts that are in online-only learning models. And that's kept schools across this state, as we know, hamstrung on, you know, even really holding practices at schools. So now, under the new guideline, basically what they've done is they've taken the phased approach that we've seen Governor Inslee, it's called his Safe Start Plan, and they've kind of put that to the side as it applies to high school sports. Todd, do you want to, you wrote this story when it broke, you know, we've certainly been following up since, but just walk us through what the new, metric of, measuring when schools can return to play sports is.
Yeah, I mean, this is a little more of an empirical gauge. Fans can log on to the state website and figure out, you know, this particular statistical data, this benchmark, what it is. And it's going to be how many cases per 100,000 people in your county. And so they've kind of added math to the equation, and they've divided it up into three benchmarks, high benchmark, moderate benchmark, and low benchmark. Now, you want to get to low benchmark because that means we can start playing basketball. That means we can start playing football. That means we can start getting on the mat and wrestling. But the three phases, as I mentioned earlier, are high benchmark, and they want counties to be 75 cases per 100,000 people over a 14-day cycle. So right now, you know, a lot of the big counties on the west side are right around that. So they would be allowed to do activities in the high benchmark, which is basically low risk sports, going out and playing. You know, if your kid's on the golf team like Dan's is, he could go out and play in a golf match. Some of the moderate risk sports can hold scrimmages and workouts under the kind of the old formula of the pods. But then, you know, as hopefully the trends start going down, then that will bring in the moderate benchmark, which is 25 to 75 cases per 100,000 over a 2-week cycle. And also there's another added to this. It's you have to have less than 5% rate of positive cases of the people who have been tested. And in that situation, that's when football can sort of open the door to practices and scrimmages and doing a lot of intra-team stuff. And that's kind of where we want as a starting point for football and basketball as we get closer to 2021. Now, there aren't a lot of counties right now that would be in a moderate benchmark, especially in major urban areas. But hopefully as we get later into 2020, we'll see those, like I said, those case trends to start shrinking. What everybody wants to see is the low benchmark, and that's fewer than 25 cases per 100,000 over a 2-week cycle. And like I said, less than a 5% rate of positive cases. That's when we can start, well, basically returning to normal. We can go and have league games for basketball. We can have league games for football. You know, the spectator part aspect of this will still kind of refer back to the old Safe Start reopening plan. So it's not going to be back to full capacity, but in terms of participation, that will, you know, counties in low benchmark, in that low benchmark category will be able to basically start playing games. And that's obviously what all three of us want to see.
Yeah. There's a bunch of ways we could go with this. But you know, before we get into those and branch off, you know, right now, 8 counties in Washington, I'm reading this off of your story, Todd, which you can find on scorebooklab.com/Washington. 8 counties right now would be eligible to play high-risk sports, and those are all small counties. Another thing that's noteworthy from the WIAA's release that it sent out on Tuesday after the governor held a press conference, was that the governor's office, and I'm quoting this, has informed the WIAA that these guidelines must be followed and neither schools nor community sports programs have the authority to implement more lenient policies. Now, that's a more definitive and a top-down messaging from the governor's office, the Department of Health, than has been the case for the past few months. And that's been one of the things that has caused, I think, a lot of fans, a lot of schools, a lot of coaches, players, to, you know, really wonder like what is going on. You know, you've had the WIA has been blamed, the governor's office. It's whose fault is this? Who decides whether we can open up? Is this a Mick Hoffman decision unilaterally? Is this a Jay Inslee decision unilaterally? There were obviously complications with, the previous before this week, smaller counties were able to start playing if they so chose. But, you know, there were, from what we heard, insurance concerns and a number of things that that prevented that from happening, as well as the continued spread of the virus. But so this essentially is gonna should be the cheat sheet and the guide going forward that'll show us exactly how high school sports are going to return here in Washington. Because you know, if you're listening to this, you take this story and you take this information and save it and use it and let it square up against the site that tracks where counties are at in their case rate per 100,000. So the question that I'm going to ask you guys is, does this week's news bring us closer to the return of sports? Does it lower the likelihood of sports returning on schedule, which as it's as soon as, you know, December for basketball? Or does this just reshuffle the deck?
I just think it reshuffles the deck. I mean, I think there is still, and I know this creates a little bit of a roadmap, but at the same time, if you look at everything that has been said or everything that is people have thought to understand, a lot of people have thought it's Mick Hoffman's decision, which it never has been, or it doesn't, has never seemed that way. And a lot of people have always thought it's Inslee's decision, and it's never seemed to be that way. It seems like Inslee's being the one now that is putting his foot down and saying he's the one in charge making these decisions. And I understand, I get that, but it's also becoming very frustrating for somebody like myself, and I'm sure you guys, without speaking for you in your place, when you see that these numbers are going to be very, very hard to attain, just based off of everything that you have continued to see over the past 6 months, and ups and downs and valleys and spikes and dips and peaks and everything. You can't predict, you literally can't predict anything, because what if another county is going extremely well, and on that 13th or 14th day, there's a super spreader event or whatever it is that they're calling, and then you're just setting everything right back to square one, to day one. So I think there's just this is just another opportunity to just basically kind of wipe their hands of it. It's not my decision. We're just going to put something that has a benchmark that's very hard to reach. And without being too political, or, you know, kind of putting a lot of personal interests or thoughts to this, is, and I know the COVID pandemic is very serious, but at the same time, these are high school students that are, for the most part, if you're participating in athletics at a young age, you are in pretty good health and pretty good shape. And everything that I've read, and if I'm wrong, someone wants to correct me or share some information with me, that's fine. But young athletes in this kind of demographic are not the ones who are being affected by this or impacted negatively. The impact that student athletes are being exposed to is taking away their experiences to create lifelong memories, potentially battling depression because they get an outlet, they get to do what they love, continuing staying healthy as an individual by being well-rounded, potentially giving themselves to further their education at the college level by having a good high school experience and being seen and being able to extend their playing and or athletic career. So I think there's, you know, unfortunately you got to look at it from both ways. You know, I'm disappointed. I wish we would have gotten past this and been able to play. I, being a basketball guy, don't necessarily deem basketball as a high risk sport. You know, the one that really caught my eye and just makes me shake my head and really be confused at it is cheerleading is a high risk sport. I don't know if you guys can help me with that one, but please help me with that one, because my daughter, who's a junior, is going to be a varsity cheerleader this year at Mount Spokane. And everything that I have seen that she went through the tryout process, where they had to do it online, and they have had a couple socially distanced practice towards the end of the summer, or get-togethers, whatever you want to call them, there's nothing high risk about cheerleading. Could it be the fact that you're raising your voice and you're screaming? Maybe. I don't know. But I'm disappointed. I'm frustrated as a high school sports fan, but I'm more probably frustrated and disappointed for the high school student athletes that are missing out on another opportunity, and for the coaches who pour into these kids on a day-by-day basis, and they haven't been able to share any type of updates with their student athletes, and now it looks like they're having to share some pretty upsetting and sobering news.
Yeah, I mean, if you read the tea leaves, and when this news broke a couple of days ago, the first thing I thought about, and we'll get into this a little bit, basketball was moved into from a moderate risk sport to a high risk sport. We've talked about that in previous podcasts. We were sort of shaking our head. I mean, I know we had a dissenting opinion, but we were sort of also shaking our head about, you know, being in a gym and the ventilation and stuff. How is basketball, how is that a moderate risk sport? And it's now been recategorized. When you read the tea leaves, I don't think we're playing basketball. We're certainly, we might be able to practice for a long period of time. And I think after this next spike, I think counties will get to the moderate benchmark where basketball teams can practice and scrimmage and stuff. But I just don't see how we're going to be playing basketball. If you ask most basketball coaches, I don't think they see how we're playing basketball at the start of the year. And it seems more likely to me now, if one of the alternative plans from the WIAA is, for example, if season two gets, you know, like as season one, the fall sports season just kind of went away because of what's going on with in-person education and the COVID trends, I think we're going to say goodbye to season two as well. I think eventually what might happen is we're going to have a spring season and you're just going to be able to pick one sport to play. And is that better than nothing? Yeah. Is that still a great conclusion to all this? Absolutely not. Making kids choose to play one sport in their athletic career is some of these seniors. I know I'm kind of getting a little ahead of myself, but I just don't see how we're playing basketball since that's the sport that's coming up first. Sometime in mid-December, early January. I just don't see it.
You know, but that's really interesting, and that's going to open up a whole new can of worms. If, for example, the WIA or says, hey, you know what, we're just going to have one sports season, pick the sport that you want to play, and say, you know, obviously my focus is basketball. Basketball goes into the spring. Well, I'll tell you right now, that's not going to work. And it's not going to work for a number of reasons, because – any of the kids in that think they're going to play at the next level are already going to be committed to play AAU or club basketball. And the NCAA just released their evaluation dates for next spring. I think it's April 9th through 11th, April 23rd through 25th. And so I can tell you right now for a fact, any of the good players that are sophomores and juniors they won't play for their high school during that season, because that's become such a must do is play at events during those evaluation periods. You know, go back to ask you for a little clarification, Todd, and I know I've read the article, but maybe I was wrong in reading it or hearing this, but you said they could practice, but they can't play games. Is that correct?
In the moderate risk benchmark, yes. So that's the one with, what is it?
So would that allow basketball to practice but not play games? Is that correct?
Correct.
See, that to me is right there. Anybody that – maybe Governor Inslee doesn't have a clue about sports, or whoever's helping with these guidelines don't have a clue about sports, because there is nothing riskier about playing a game than there is about having a practice. And anybody that's around sports can tell you that. Any good athlete, any good coach knows that. Your practices are sometimes the most physical and most demanding of your season. It's where you test people. It's where, you know, you kind of push through your limits. That is just mind-boggling.
I'm glad you, Dan, brought up basketball being moved to a high-risk sport. And that's something that we did an entire podcast on where we said, what's going to return first, football or basketball? And I think now, you know, that question is relevant as ever. Something that I would note here is that when the WIA, when the DOH made its recommendation this week and they updated it, they actually kind of sidestepped the National Federation for High School Association, the NFHS. The NFHS came out with the guidance very early on in this pandemic that basically, as you guys know, ranked sports based on their risk level. Basketball was a moderate risk sport. We were sitting there kind of scratching our heads going, how is that a moderate risk sport when football is a high risk sport? And how does this make sense? And what's what? So I reached out to the Department of Health yesterday, and a spokesperson, the Deputy Communications Director and Press Secretary, Mike Falk, I believe for Governor Inslee's office, said that they actually came to a different conclusion than the NFHS with the risk category for basketball, and they cited that it was high risk, high contact, because it's in an indoor sport. It's played with close contact in a relatively small playing area. You know, they said that they also cited that the NCAA had reached the same decision. And the big one here, guys, is that it's being played indoors. And as the more we learn about this virus, the more we know that the virus lingers indoors. And so that just makes anything indoors, you know, inherently, higher risk for people. You know, you look at restaurants, you look at movie theaters and whatnot. Backfilling that with on Tuesday, in Governor Inslee's press conference, he was asked directly about high school football. And essentially the question was, you know, do any of these new guidelines that you're releasing allow for the restart of a high school football season? And here's what he said. And pardon me, because this might get a little long-winded, but I think it's important to hear what he has to say. One, because, you know, a big part his decision, and two, he hasn't really directly addressed this publicly. So he says, you know, what we've done is an analysis of the risk associated with each sport. Football is a higher risk because the close contact facial interactions. At least for the moment, we have not found a way to develop the protocols that we could keep young people safe during that sport. By the way, it's not just the young people, it's their parents when they go home, their grandparents, and everybody else in their community that have a risk here. So we haven't found a way to do that at this date. We think that there has been a way at the professional and college level, because frankly, they have the financing to do it all. And then I'm going to skip ahead here, but he's saying, we will look and continue, we will continue to look and listen to people, but at the moment, we don't think that's in the cards, and that's playing football. I do want, if I may, he says, the WIA is planning for a tackle football season next year. That'll be great if that happens. I think it's reasonable to have a plan in that dimension, and I'm pleased. We love these folks playing football. And then he made a comment about, you know, we understand they'd like to get college scholarships. I saw that as a nod to the very vocal group, the Student Athletes of Washington, that marched at the Capitol building. That have now had two Zoom calls with members of Governor Inslee's policy team and the Department of Health. That was as directly as this was addressed. And, you know, I think that you guys are pointing out the inconsistencies here with, you know, the ability to address this and squaring that with, okay, well, compare and contrast that to 35 other states. You know, what would you tell, if Governor Inslee was on this call right now, I would genuinely ask him, what would you tell a high school athlete who's sitting here and watching 35 other states playing? Because we feel the frustration, we see the frustration in the people Todd and I talk to on a daily basis, people in decision-making positions. There's a lot of frustration. So this kind of, again, I go back to it, reshuffles the deck. So if I were to pose the question again to you guys, which has a higher likelihood of starting on time? Do you think it would be football? Do you think it would be basketball? Or is it even fair to make an assumption at this point?
I mean, again, you say reshuffle the deck, which is, I think, what he's doing. But I mean, if you're honestly having to get under those numbers that they're talking about, and, you know, we might not see high school sports until next fall. So football would be the first one. So again, I just fall back with the same comment I had earlier, just disappointment and frustration for high school student athletes as well as coaches right now. It's something that, I mean, thankfully my kids aren't their senior year where they're going to be missing out their potentially last chance to be a part of an organized sport that has meant so much to them.
The part of the press release, and Andy alluded to this earlier, that really kind of stuck in the craw was how stringent these new guidelines are. And to me, that's the wrong approach with this. This should be looked at as sort of a teeter-totter effect with physical health on one side, mental health on another side. And it should be a little bit of a sliding scale as opposed to just all in on the COVID stuff and apparently not in at all on the mental health stuff. And a lot of this is risk management driven. We all know that. But to answer Andy's question, which has more likelihood, and Dan, you might be right. It might be football because it's first up on the calendar in 2021. I would like to think that later into this, if we can survive a spike, late in 2020 with cases, that maybe by February we could think about playing football. I still think it's probably a more likelihood that football is played than basketball. But I'm with you, Dan. I think it looks pretty bleak right now for both sports, and maybe a spring season. And you're right. To me, it's a spring season where the best athletes in both sports aren't playing.
You know, the other thing to think about or consider, and who knows, is, you know, they keep talking about this vaccine and when it might come out and who might take it and how long would it take to be able to have access for high school age students in the state of Washington. Because I know there's going to be a priority list and a pecking order of what they go through, and I don't want to get too political, but at what point will the research maybe get to the point that, okay, the vaccine's here and enough people are going to take it that it's going to, we can see the numbers going in the right direction, or the therapeutics helping get us in the right direction without ever crossing those barrier numbers? Because if the vaccine or the therapeutics are good enough to make COVID maybe not so potentially damaging what a lot of people think is damaging, at what point will they take another look at it and just say, okay, you know what? More science, more data has come in. Let's go ahead and open this thing up. I mean, there's so many things that are at play or need to be assessed that, as you said, Andy, it's a strict, stringent kind of, this is where we're following. That's hard for me to accept and take without kind of, you know, being frustrated with it.
Yeah, that's the part, that the hard line stance is the part that bugs me too. If you want to use this as a guide, fine. But to me, they should be studying trends. You want to put numbers down and have people sort of say, okay, this is where we're at. But you're right. They should be studying trends and making decisions based on trends.
I've gotten the impression too that the WIA has sought answers from the Department of Health, and I wonder how open that line of communication is between them. Because I know, you know, for a lot of this fall, there was no timeline on when this guidance was going to come down, this recommendation. So it seems like the communication there, there's something lacking. The WI didn't know why basketball was upgraded to a high risk sport the day after this announcement came out. They didn't have an answer for that. And so I wonder, how open. I know, we've talked about this in the past. I don't remember if we've talked to WI Executive Director McHoffman about it, but you know, there he has said there's an open line of communication. He has a contact at the Department of Health, and Mick is talking to state association directors in other states that are playing sports every week, and he's taking the information from them. And you know, a couple weeks ago it was, oh hey, you know, in Utah we're, you know, I may be getting this the details wrong, but hey, we're finding in Utah that volleyball, we're having more quarantines in volleyball than we are football. More games canceled because of that. And, you know, what does that mean? And so Mick is taking all this information he's receiving from other states, and he's just sending it to the DOH and saying, hey, this is, you know, the more information I can give you guys, the better. And so, you know, I wonder what some of those other state association directors would, you know, genuinely say if you were having a beer with them about these new guidelines, because they seem, you know, the West Coast, obviously we know is much more stringent and has that's why there's no high school sports being played across the West Coast right now. So we're not speaking in absolutes. We're in month 6, 7 of a pandemic, and there just seems to be a lot of frustration going on. We certainly saw it from readers, at least the ones that felt compelled to voice their opinions on this, either to us or in our comment section. But listeners to this podcast, like, I would genuinely welcome what you guys think. You know, we're not sitting here as medical experts, you know, telling you how things should go. We're dissecting the inner workings of what we're hearing from the state, explaining these guidelines. And, you know, we would love to hear from you and how this shutdown continues to impact, you know, high school sports and the high school athletes that play those sports.
Yeah, I'm not here to say it wouldn't be a bumpy ride. We're covering a lot of Idaho football right now. I've talked to a lot of coaches who are frustrated by the stop and go nature of what's gone on. We had one of their high profile games canceled this week, Blackfoot and Rigby. There was an outbreak at one of the schools. I'm not here to tell you that it wouldn't happen here, but I think if you ask Idaho athletes, Idaho football coaches, and parents, would they take the bumpy ride and take the good with the bad, or the bad with the good, or what Washington's doing? I think they take the course of action that they're on right now. In fact, I think Washington coaches would take exactly what the Idaho people are dealing with right now. And you could probably go down the entire West Coast, and those coaches and athletic directors and parents would probably say the same thing.
I should mention too, we've talked about the SAW group, the student athletes of Washington, that have they've been waiting for this announcement. That's been mentioned on the call. I've been sitting in on the calls they've had with the Department of Health, the governor's office. And this kind of takes the wind out of those sails as well. Hey, let's restart this season. Something I will say, as we sort of wrap up this conversation, something to spin forward and look forward to is, and I wonder how this week's news impacts this, but the WIAA executive board, when it meets next week, is going to discuss playing or essentially allowing individual schools an exception to play exhibition games before the start of the season. That would be something they would have to essentially walk around WIAA rules that say you can't play games out of a season. I think there's an argument to be made that, hey, we're in a pandemic and sports haven't happened in months. So if there's a school ready, let's let it fly. You know, this week's announcement from the governor's office, I would imagine seems to make that decision to allow games out of season a lot tougher. So, well, that's a story that we're going to continue to monitor, especially as it's talked about next week by the executive board, the WIAA. So as we kind of spin it forward, Dan, I'm going to change the subject. You're hosting a great podcast 3 times a week. You're continuing to bring great interviews. There's a queue of more than 100 episodes that you can work from that includes your quarantine series that you can find in the podcast feed. It's called The ISO with Dan Dickow. As we move forward into this week and into the fall, is there anything that you're excited about? The Doug Wren episode that you alluded to last week just published, that was a roller coaster. Is there anything that listeners should look forward to with the podcast?
Yeah, we're going to re-release a long sit-down that I had with Jay Billis from last December. We're also going to re-release One that I did with Adam Morrison in January, where they cover a number of topics. And then some of the other ones that we've got coming up in the very near future, all-time winningest girls high school basketball coach in the state of Washington with 6 state titles, Al Aldridge, I think releases, if I'm not mistaken, this Friday, so tomorrow from when we're recording now. Let's see, Doug Gottlieb is going to be joining. Lon Kruger, who's taken multiple teams to a Final Four, is going to join. I've got Clint Parks, a skills trainer from LA, who basically helped discover Kawhi Leonard when he was in high school and work with him, get him ready for his career at San Diego State and in the NBA. And then just kind of working on some scheduling to dial in a couple other coaches like Tad Boyle of Colorado. And I'm waiting to hear back from some others. So some more really good conversations coming up. If any of you listeners are out there, hit that subscribe button. Give us a follow. If you have any ideas of who you might want to listen to, let us know. I know a lot of my networks in the world of basketball, but I'm also waiting to hear back from Heisman Trophy winner Rick Meyer of Notre Dame fame. Our CEO at SB Live knows Rick well and has put Rick and I in touch in the past, and I'm just waiting to hear back from him right now if that's going to work. But again, thanks for listening. Any constructive criticism would be great. Thanks for tuning in.
Yeah, absolutely. The ISO with Dan Dickow is what it's called. You can subscribe to it wherever you get podcasts, and you can do the same for this very podcast. It's called the SB Live Washington Podcast. You just search SB Live Washington wherever you find podcasts. Subscribe for free. Get the episodes each week, either publishing Wednesday, usually Thursday. Download it straight to your smartphone, your mobile device, and while you're there, if you do it through Apple, leave us a review, a rating. Just again, like Dan said, tell us what you want us to talk about, what you don't, what you like, what you want to hear. It helps us do what we do so that we can best serve you, the listener. So thank you guys for joining me today. Certainly, we'll continue to follow this story as it develops. Scorebooklive.com/Washington is your home for high school sports news and information. It remains to be so throughout this pandemic. So keep hitting it up. Also, /Idaho, Todd and I are gearing up for our first weekend on the ground covering Idaho high school football after doing it from afar for a few weeks. So lots of exciting things going on, and we appreciate you guys listening. So for SB Live Washington, they're Dan Dickow and Todd Millis. I'm Andy Bueller. Leave it here. Podcast is brought to you by SB Live Washington and SB Live Sports, your national hub for high school sports news and information. Subscribe for free wherever you get podcasts. You can find our work at scorebooklive.com/Washington. As always, a big thanks to our sponsor, Washington Federal, and thanks to Dan Dickow and Todd Millis for bringing the heat every week. The song you're hearing is by the band Woodrow. It's called So Far Away, written by Carl Johnson, James Schroeder, and my dad, Matt Bueller. I'm Andy Bueller. Talk to you next week.